So welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our last Coach the Coach for Class 4. So this is July 11th, and this is the Life Coach Training for October 2015. My name is Beth Barnes, and this is Group A. A. I love Group A. I'm Canadian, A.
Me too, eh?
So welcome, everybody. Welcome, to class, our last class. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open it up to questions for you guys at the beginning, and then we'll coach. We have a volunteer to be coached, but we don't have any volunteers to coach yet. So I'd love you to think about that and throw your hat in the ring for this last Coach the Coach. So the way we'll start today is to really to get to your questions. So I know Heather had a question, and any questions you have about anything or how it's going or with the coach training or anything, wide open. And if I can answer it, great. And if I can't, I'll just refer you to someone else, or I'll find out the answers for you. So Heather, why don't you start? You had a question?
Yeah, sure. I just wondered about, so you do a coaching call with a client, and then at the end, I'm just curious about whether typically you leave them with action steps, or I'm finding myself sort of stuck at the end, and I'm going back through the tools thinking, like, either did I miss something or is it not necessary? And it might be partially because I did have a couple of years where I was a client and with various coaches that really focused on the action steps. And so part of me is remembering that and thinking, well, I have to leave them with something to do this week. And maybe it's not necessary. Maybe I'm just forgetting and that was covered. But I just wondered if you could comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not really covered in the training. I always give homework. I like homework. Mm-hmm. I like giving people something to do between appointments. Now, it might not be an action, go and do this, go and see that person, go talk to somebody. It's going to be an action step, like maybe, you know, let's say we did a turnaround, and I might ask them to list 10 reasons why they're enough. No, for something like that. Let's say that was a turnaround, I am enough. List 10 reasons why they're enough. Or I try to come up with something that is going to really help them to ground what was their, you know, the real takeaway or the theme of the session. And so sometimes I might even say, what do you think that you need to do for homework? And they come up with, clients can come up with amazing stuff that you think, oh, that's a great idea. Fabulous. And they, you know, do that. Okay. The other thing that happens with homework, if you ever give homework and you find that your client doesn't do it, the way that I take it there is that that means that I gave them something too much. So I want to look into that. What about that homework? What's going on? And so then what that tells me is that I need to either give them something different, something less, or work with them around their resistance to that if that's an issue.
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty well the way I handle it.
Yeah, that's great. That's very helpful, actually, because I think I kind of loved that about in the past. Like, I loved hey, I've got my stuff to do, and it almost felt like a continuation of the coaching even after the hour was done. So I love that.
That's it.
And sounds like you can even just be a little creative with it, and when in doubt, ask the client. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I love giving them also sort of exercises and worksheets. You know, when you start out, what I find is that when you start out having these clients and you start realizing that you're kind of asking people to do similar kinds of things on a regular basis. And that's how, for me, worksheets evolve. So you start making these kind of worksheets or play sheets or whatever you want to call them. And then you can start using them. It's sort of like, oh, here's, I'd love you to do this play sheet I created. It'll help you to, you know, identify whatever it is. And so I like to do that too.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions? Anything? I'd love to find out what's up with you, what the comments you have, questions, where you're at about anything.
Staff?
Yes.
This is Tanya. I have kind of a follow-up question to Heather's question.
Sure.
So I had a client recently where we did the work, and
yep.
It was like, you know, the big breakthrough session. I want to hug you at the end of the session. Which was weird, and he didn't, thank goodness. He just had this big, like, oh, my God, this is it, blah, 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 you know. And so he's like, I've got so much to think about, mm-hmm. and this, right? So great. So I kind of didn't give him anything beyond that. I was like, okay, you've got your work cut out for you. We've had this aha moment go away. And then in 2 weeks we get back together, and I kind of say, so what's come of that? And he's like, oh, yeah, not too much. I guess I'm still processing or whatever. And then I felt like I should have done something. I should have given him something, or it just kind of fell away.
Mm-hmm. So here's the question. Is it true you should have given him something?
I don't know.
So you can do the work on that one. But here's the thing. What happens is he comes up with breakthrough session, huge, big, limiting belief. But what that means is that it's anchored deep down. Like, it's not like in one brilliant breakthrough session, it's gone, never to occur again. It just doesn't happen that way. So what you're going to find is people go round and around and around, and they come back at things at this sort of the same thought in a different way. And so do you feel like you should have given, what would you have done if you had given him something? What would you have given him to do?
I felt like I should have, like, given him a specific, instead of just leaving it so broad and open, oh, go away and process, because you've had an aha moment, now you can process this. I wish I would have said, how can you take this into your life? When we get back together, I want you to tell me an example of how you've used this insight, or just something concrete, because it was sort of up in the air, and I needed to ground it somehow.
So at the time you did it, did you feel like it was up in the air?
No. Right.
Yeah, you're being kind of like an armchair quarterback. Looking back now, I think I should have done this. But at the time, it really felt like a breakthrough. It really felt like sometimes a breakthrough is a breakthrough. And some what people do, I mean, people process themselves throughout. So you could even, when you came back to him, knowing how you felt then, it's to say, ask the question about, you know, did you take this through? How did this impact you throughout the week? Did you ask him that, Tanya?
I did not ask that specific question. I just kind of asked, here was what we came to. Here was the big aha. So tell me what you've done with that since then. And
so you know what I'm hearing from you in your voice, and tell me where I'm wrong. I'm hearing, oh, I did something wrong. I could have done this better. I screwed up.
Yeah, probably. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I actually have that feeling with this client in particular.
Yes. Yeah. That feeling is coloring everything. You can't even think about what to do because you got to work through that thought, Tanya.
Okay.
So my suggestion is either on this call or somewhere else, you could work through that thought and get coached about it as our second client, if you'd like. And how do you feel about that?
Sure.
Okay, sounds great. That'd be a great thing to coach about because I think a lot of people feel that way. It might be fun to sort of explore that. Yay, kill two birds with one stone. I hate talking about it like killing birds, but whatever. We'll go through that. So, it's your thought that's in the way on that, Tanya. And we'll see what happens as you get coached through that and what comes up. Okay, perfect. Any other questions? Anything that's happening with you in your coaching, anything that you're thinking? All right, so we have also Maria just joined us. Hi, Maria.
Hi there.
Welcome. So what we're looking for, I'm just talking to everybody here, we need two people to coach, to be the coaches. So who would like to volunteer to coach? And don't feel like you have to speak up because nobody is. David, you've done that the whole time.
So. That's why I'm remaining silent.
Yeah, exactly. You've jumped in every time, which I love. It's wonderful, and it's fantastic. Who would like to coach today?
I'll coach. It's Maria. I can do it again.
Okay, that's great. And somebody else, too.
Beth, this is Tanya. I haven't coached in a really, really long time, and I was actually planning on volunteering today, but if I'm going to be the client, I don't know if I need to do both.
Well, you can coach, and you can also be a client. So, because I haven't really heard from you, I don't think, very much. And that's fine with me. If that's fine with everybody else, we've done that in other classes. So, in fact, you were going to be the client. Why don't we start out, and Heather wants to be a client too. So why don't we start out with Maria coaching you, Tanya, and then we'll do Tanya, you coaching Heather. How's that?
Okay. That sounds great.
Great. And if we've got time for anything else, we'll do that. So I'm just going to have us, get here, grounding meditation, it's for those of us who are empathic and affected by things that are happening around in the world, it's just really good to take time to get into your own self and your own body. So close your eyes, sit straight up on a chair, and just start to relax, just start to breathe. Not that you weren't, but breathe deeply. Breathe deeply into your belly. So take a deep belly breath. So as you breathe in, feel your belly rise. And as you breathe out, your belly falls. And just keep taking deep belly breaths. And feel the oxygen go all the way through your body to the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes. You breathe in deeply and breathe out. And feel yourself going into your own body. As you keep taking those deep belly breaths and really finding that place inside of you, that deep, quiet place inside of you. Now place your attention on your feet and the insoles of your feet. You might feel hot or tingly as you do that. And imagine two roots. They're grounding roots. Big, beautiful roots that come out of the bottoms of your feet. with the force of gravity, they go down through the layers of the earth, through the grass and the soil and the rocks, through the layers of the earth, deep, deep down, these roots that are growing and beautiful and strong. And these roots go all the way down to the center of the earth. And your grounding roots attach to the center of the planet. And you feel safe and connected. And allow yourself to enjoy this sensation for a moment. And you might feel a little heaviness in the bottom half of your body, and that's okay. And just check in with the rest of your body. If you notice any areas of tension, allow those little areas of tension to roll up to a little ball and roll down your body and be recycled into the earth. And now focus on your breathing once more. And feel your feet on the ground and the back of your back against the chair, or maybe your elbows. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back to the room. Great. So in this coaching, I'm not going to interrupt. I'm just going to let you guys coach, and I'll note things down. And when you're done, I will give you some feedback. And, you know, if there's any places that, you know, that you kind of want to stop and ask questions, you're sort of welcome to do that, because this is your last Coach the Coach class. So if you want to stop, ask questions, or if there's something that I kind of want to point out that to everybody, I might interrupt you briefly. But I'm just going to let you guys coach, and we'll see what happens. So how about if we start out with Maria coaching Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
I'm good, Maria. Yes, sorry, I had my phone muted for a second. I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, it's nice to talk to you. And
it's nice to talk to you, too. Last time we were paired together, last time I coached.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Was it? Wow, that was a little bit ago. So, and thank you so much. We did so much work together. It was good. That was a great time. So, Tanya, we got a good sense of what is going on, but if you can, just to get you grounded into that, we've been wonderfully grounded by Bev into the moment, but if you could just go toward the situation that you were talking about previously with your client, and let's talk through some context and get some background about what's going on.
Okay. So I actually was thinking a little bit about this, and as Bev was talking, and it occurred to me that it is a deeper issue, I guess. I'm going to be TAO and say that I have regrets about taking this person as a client. He reports to my husband at work, and when usually I am really, really, really good about having strong boundaries about things that I don't coach my personal friends. I know a lot of people that do, and people that coach their family members, and it works. But for me, I know it doesn't. And so I'm usually pretty strict. And for some reason with this one, I think it was just, oh, I need certification hours. And he, you know, how that, what can go wrong kind of a thing. And to be fair, nothing really has gone wrong. But in my mind, there is this nagging. I should have known better. I shouldn't have taken him as a client. This is, it's not a clean relationship, and it bugs me.
Okay. I think that is actually, we've got a lot there.
Yeah, it's weighing on me. It probably is. It is coloring probably our interactions, coloring the, yeah. Even if it's a good session, there's that part of me, well, but you shouldn't be coaching him anyway. Always there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maria, your line's a little bit fuzzy. You know, I don't know
is
if anybody
it?
Else
yeah, there is a it. Fuzziness to the line, but I didn't realize it was my line.
Okay, no, let me know. It's Tanya. I think it's Tanya. Tanya, I think it's your
okay.
line. Because when
I'm on a headset. Let me.
That's better. When you just talked right now, that was better.
Okay, maybe the phone was too far away from the headset. I'll hold it closer.
There, that's much better.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that does sound good. All right. Well, Tanya, great. And I said that there is a lot there. I know you said you used the word that, you know, it's weighing our interaction, so there's a certain heaviness to it that you feel. But, I mean, when I said that there's a lot there, I got a lot of thought. That we're coming
right.
up around this particular interaction or, you know, just the situation that you find yourself in. And so I'm going to recap for you a few of the thoughts that I've heard you say, and that is, you know, I'm usually good about my boundaries, and so in a way you feel as though you have not you did not make a good decision with regards to this client. Is that true?
Yes, that is how I feel. Definitely, I do believe that is true. I did not make a good decision this time.
Okay, and so when you think I didn't make a good decision about things, what happens? It weighs you down. Is it the making a decision, not making a good decision, or is it, well, let's stop there. What happens when you think that you didn't make a good decision? Say a lot more about that.
Yeah, I think I punish myself. There's I should have known better. I do know better. I know better than to do this, and I didn't. So I'm kind of punishing myself for doing something that I feel like I know better.
Okay. Would you like to do the work around this thought, I didn't make a good decision?
Sure.
Okay. The question that I was going to ask, because I wanted to take a moment to get some clarity, there was, I didn't make a good decision, or I didn't utilize good boundaries. But I, as you spoke about it, I heard more, I didn't make a good decision. I think that there's more emotion around that for you.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Maria,
all right.
Just one thing. Just don't forget to say, tell me where I'm wrong.
Tell me where, yes, that's right. Tell me where I'm wrong. Okay. So, Tanya, let's work on the thought so that we can reference it. I didn't make a good decision.
Okay.
Is it absolutely true that you did not make a good decision with regards to your client?
It feels true.
It feels true. What if I said to you, this could have been a good decision in that it clued you into yourself and what you do to yourself in situations where you don't feel like it's a good decision? When I say that, do you absolutely know it's true? That you didn't make a good decision?
I mean, I never, there's no such thing as absolutely knowing anything. But in that, like, just feeling into it, I really do feel like that this was a bad decision. I didn't make a good decision.
Okay. I understand that. Where do you feel it in your body?
In my chest. It's a tight, hard feeling in my chest and my shoulders and my neck.
Yeah, tightness. And how do you act when you think I didn't make a good decision?
I definitely beat myself up about it again, because I just, there's this, you know, you know better. You should have known better. What were you thinking? Kind of thought that I have around it.
How do you treat others? How do you treat your clients?
You know, I think I might have expectations around, you know, going back to the original issue that I presented. I think it could be making me have expectations around, well, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to do something that I really don't think I should have done, he better get something great out of it, you know? And so I'm expecting more out of him than I expect out of any of my other clients. It's sort of they're going to get what they get, and that's how life is. But with him, it's like, so if I screwed up, I better do something great for him, and he better get something great out of it.
It sounds to me like you push yourself, too. Like you want him and to get something out of it, and then you push yourself harder to be a better coach or tell me where I'm wrong. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. That's absolutely true. That I'm a much, much harsher critic of every session I have with him than with everyone else. And he just signed up for another series, and it was that I was such mixed feelings of hooray, oh shit, I could do more sessions with him.
Oh, boy. It's so interesting, Tanya, because we're going to move toward how, if you could not think the thought, I did not make a good decision, if you were, and to be released from that, to have the just, all of a sudden, this magic wand comes and just releases you from that, can you tell me how you feel?
It's a lot more freedom. It's a lot, you know, the tightness goes away. The idea that there's something magical that has to happen in these sessions goes away. It's just, it is what it is. It's no different than any other coaching session. And that's a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the idea that I don't have to be better, that everything has to be better, is a huge relief.
Yeah, a lot more freedom, you said. A lot more freedom. What if I were to say to you, Tanya, you have freedom... Now, you have freedom in your relationship with this particular client. You just said you came to a natural stopping point with him where it could have ended and he signed up. And you said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It was almost like like he was leading the relationship.
Right.
But without that thought, you're free and you're leading the relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, because the way it happened is he said, well, I think the next session is the end of the series, what I've paid for, what do we do then? Mm-hmm. And I was perfectly free to say, we part as friends. We go our separate ways. And I did not.
And why didn't you?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was just that, that voice that says, you have to be polite or you have to, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit of that, this, I didn't want to punish him for all the stuff that I know is in my head.
Mm.
And that's what it kind of felt like, that I would be punishing him for me making a bad choice in the beginning. If he wants to continue, I shouldn't punish him for that.
Right. And so therefore you should be punished for making a bad decision.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go and do some turnarounds around that thought, I didn't make a good decision, because we really want to have you walk in the freedom to make good decisions for Tanya, or not live under the weight of the decisions that you make. So let's do a turnaround to the opposite of I didn't make a good decision.
So I did make a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I have gotten our sword certification. that was in the back of my mind, coloring the decision in the beginning. So there was that. By doing it.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing about all this, like, recriminations I'm giving myself and how much I'm torturing myself about this is that I've gone through in my head all the ways that this could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
I've gone through, like, what if he tells me he wants to quit? That's something I could not, obviously couldn't ever tell my husband, but I would know, and it would impact my husband, and that would be a terrible scenario that I could have gotten myself into. Well, it hasn't happened, obviously, but I am torturing myself with all the things that could have gone wrong had I thought this through better, and that's why this was a bad decision. So I guess I didn't make a bad decision. I did make a good decision, because none of that actually has happened except in my head.
Right. Right. So the worst that could have happened hasn't happened. Is that
no,
what you think?
Nothing bad has happened. I mean, there's even less worse things. Like, he could come in every single week and complain about my husband. And he doesn't. His issues aren't around my husband. What he needs coaching around has nothing to do with it. It has been really a clean relationship, but I am torturing myself about the fact that it could have not been clean.
So it has actually been a positive coaching experience.
It has.
Is that what you're
saying? It has. Yeah, it has actually been a positive. Like I said, he was my best example of the working with any of my clients, I would say. It was, mm-hmm. I've done it with several clients, but this was the one where he really had that breakthrough.
And so I've got hours for certification. I've had a positive coaching experience where the tools work.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else where you realize you did make a good decision?
Well, I guess, you know, the third reason would be that he got something out of it. Had he not coached with me, I don't know that he would be in coaching right now. And I do think it has benefited him.
So it has benefited him. It has benefited you, and it has benefited him. So it has been a good decision.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So can we do another turnaround? And turn it away. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think. So I did not make a good decision. Help me with, so will we add a clause to the end to turn it, or how would we turn it to self or other?
All right.
He did not make a good decision? I don't know.
Let's see. I didn't make a good decision. The decision
didn't make me good.
That's a good one. The decision, yeah. Let's work with that one since it came so naturally.
The decision didn't make me good. Let's sit with that for a second.
Yeah, let's sit with it for a little bit.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind as I listen to that thing is the decision is just a decision. It's neither good nor bad. It is what it is. This is the thing. And it's really all the other stuff around it that I am making it. Not
That's very insightful. Say more.
Well, I mean, it's like we say all the time, well, what are you making that mean? What is the story you're telling yourself? The story I'm telling myself is, I should have done this, and this could have been bad, and this could have happened. But the decision to do it was just, it's neither good nor bad. It's just a thing.
I think that sounds very liberating. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. And even that decision didn't make me good. It doesn't make me good or bad either. I'm me regardless. Either way, what I would have done would have been fine either way. I felt like I needed, or I had to, or I should have. And there were all those things that kind of colored it, when in reality it could have done either. It would have been fine.
So the decision doesn't have power.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You do.
Yes. Right.
Okay. And so I'm going to write, because just for the sake of some clarity and for some things for you to just think about very clearly as you think about these turnarounds after we're done, is that the decision is what it is.
Right.
The decision doesn't make me – the decision wasn't good or bad, and it doesn't make me good or bad. It does not have power.
Yeah.
All right. And so I think that would have been turning it around to other,
Okay.
Could we turn this to self in some way where it's all about I have a good one. It's not in
okay.
You know. It's okay. More I am a good decision.
I am a good decision. In this particular situation, how am I a good decision? Well, I guess there's, like we said, if he, this, you know, I did not approach this man about coaching. He approached me. And he, I do think he's gotten some benefit out of what we've been doing. Enough, I mean, if nothing else, he wanted to do more, so that must say that he thinks something is working. So I was a good decision for him, I guess, in that case.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah,
when you think of how you've punished yourself and the recriminations that you've thought could possibly happen and all those things, where is Tanya in all of this? How is Tanya a good decision?
It's obviously a sticky thought, and it's probably, you know, one of those pervasive things that goes through a lot of stuff because it's I'm struggling, and even as we're doing turnarounds, I keep having little sneaky things jump in there with the
mm-hmm.
yeah, but, you know, because it really, my brain does not want to let this one go.
Yes, I can tell. It wants to hold on.
Yeah.
So that you can be weighed down and burdened.
Yes. Yes, and punished. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even as you were just saying that, where are you? And there's that little part in my brain that's like, you're exactly where you belong. That's what you should be. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's defeat that part of your brain. Let's, what do you call, do you have a name for your lizard?
Yes, it's Beelzebub, and I call it BB for short.
It's, you know what, your phone got a little fuzzy there. Can you say that again?
Beelzebub is the name, and BB
uh-huh.
is a short name.
All right. So now we need to look BB square in the face, because BB really wants for you to hold on to that you have no power in this and that you deserve to be punished, even though there's a lot of evidence that there's a lot of good that has happened here. And so we're going
right.
to talk to Bibi, and we're going to say, tell Bibi that Tanya is a good decision and why, or that Tanya can make a good decision. You are a good decision, or you can make a good decision. We can go through both.
Okay. I can make a good decision, because I'm helping this person. This person is getting something that he feels like he needs, and that is a good decision. I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. You think that's true. Do you know that's true?
Well, you can't know anything's true, really, can you, Maria?
No, you can't. But he signed up for a whole new series, so I think, and I don't just think, I know he's getting something from it.
Ah,
So I know that he is. Do you know that he is?
I hope that he is. I think so. I do. I think so. I think he has. Yeah.
Can you say, I know he is? I want to hear you say it. I know he is.
I am good enough and smart enough, and God darn it, people like me, Maria.
I like you a lot. Okay.
So we're just going to give you guys two more minutes just to wrap it up, okay?
Okay, thank you. All right, and so I can make a good decision. Two more examples of how you can make a good decision.
Let's see. Well, I think generally speaking, I do make good decisions. I think I have made good decisions and, you know, clients I've taken and clients I've ended relationships when it wasn't good, when it wasn't a good fit for us. So yeah, I can make good decisions.
Okay. One more. You have ended things when it didn't work, and you've shown that even though you've made a decision, when you have made one that you didn't think was going well, you have been able to take the reins and say, it's enough and we don't need to move forward. So you can make a good decision.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. And one more.
I decided to do this. This is a good decision. I decided to take coach training, and all that has gone along with that has been a good decision.
Okay. All right. Great.
Wonderful.
Can I do one thing really quickly, Bev?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So now that you've gone through that, Tanya, because I do believe that BB is still kind of there in the shadows going, how do you feel in your body as, you know, compared to where you were before, which was tight in your chest, your shoulders? Now that we've gone through the work, how do you feel?
Yeah, I do feel relief in my chest and shoulders and neck, all of that. That is definitely lightened. And I definitely feel, I have a session with him this week, and I feel like this is going to help me go into the session a little bit cleaner without all this, you know, being able to challenge my thoughts around not working with him will make for a better session.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel good about that.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope you can keep focusing on it, and that you are making a good decision, that you have made one, and that you're free to make another decision if you don't think it works for you.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Wonderful. That was wonderful. Really great. So I kind of want to talk about this one a little bit with before, like, I'm going to ask Tanya to give Maria some feedback, and maybe I'll do that first. So, Tanya, can you give Maria some feedback? What was that like for you? What did you particularly like about the coaching? Was there anything that didn't work for you?
I thought it was great. I think Maria is awesome. I think her strength is she is very, very balanced. She walks the line between being gentle and encouraging, but pushing where she needs to push and not letting, you know, being so sweet and gentle that she's not challenging. And I think she walked the line perfectly. She challenged just enough where I needed to be challenged, but never made me feel, you know, attacked or anything. So it was really good. I thought it was a great, great session.
Great feedback. Maria, what about you? What do you sort of, what would you give yourself some praise for that you did well? And is there any, so I'm going to make you praise yourself. And
no, this is hard. This is hard for me. I heard you rephrasing the question. I was like, ah.
Exactly. And what would you, any areas you need to improve, but I want to focus on the praise.
I think I took her through the work well. I think,
yep.
You know, yeah, we hit on all the points, and so I thought we got through the work well. Tanya
yep.
is an amazing client, you know, because she was in it, and she put everything out there that she was thinking and feeling, and, you know, that was wonderful to work with, that she trusted me with all of that, and that we could just do it together. So that was great.
That was great. But let me just offer one thing here, and this is for all of you, including you, Maria. When you have a client like that, there's something you're doing. There's something. It might be an energy. It might be your attention. It's or the way you listen, the way you hold a space, that you are helping them to feel safe and to trust you. So it's not just, I hear this so much, oh, she was a great client, oh, I was a bad client. No. There's something that allows her, that you're doing, that allows her to go there. So I just want you to acknowledge that.
Yes, I acknowledge it, Bev. I acknowledge it.
Okay.
She's absolutely right, Maria. Looking from the other side, it's absolutely true. And, I mean, there were times that you would say really, really strong hunches that made me know that you were listening, and not just that you were listening, you on a deeper level, you got it. And that makes a client feel so understood that they're willing to tell you more.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think I got good hunches and I followed them. That's
yes.
the thing. Yeah.
Anything that you would have done differently?
I mean, you know, there's always a ton. But no, my marmoset went off in a number of areas, and I wanted to go there,
yeah.
but I stayed committed to the work. You know, like
yeah.
there were some things yeah. with regards to fair and you know, Tanya, your husband, and, you know, being afraid of what could come up with regards to that, and the, you know, about complexity and not liking complexity. There were things that I just wanted to stop and go, why, and do five whys. But I do feel that I stayed on course.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was tempted at times to go off course.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think you did a great job. I think that you really followed, really listened, that you have a very nice pace, that you allow for space. I love the time at the beginning that you asked a question and then you kept asking it, and then you said, hold on, just let me just stop there, because I was thinking, stop asking.
I know. I'm just going to stop. Yes, because, you know, my
yeah.
mind was going, and I slowed
yeah.
myself down and said, we're just going to stop here.
Yeah, which was perfect, because I was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, stop, let her answer. And then you stopped yourself, and you said, hey, let's just stop there, and left the question, and that was really great. The work was great. You did little thingies in there to sort of personalize it. I like that, you know, when she talked about the body, that you started talking about the body, where do you feel it in your body? I know it's kind of a question in the work, but it was nice there. So this is just a thought, just to throw this in. I'm not that you needed to do this because you didn't. I just want to say this sort of to everybody. Sometimes you'll find you're doing the work with somebody and you're working at a deep-seated thought, and you get to this body question, and it seems like the person needs to
feel it a lot in their body. So sometimes what I've done at that point is I have that in the middle of the work, I've done the dream analysis in the body and done that with them. And the reason I do that is so that they get into the feeling state. And sometimes it's, then I continue on with the work from further work. And sometimes it's really, they're less hooked into their minds at that point. So I was just thinking about that at the moment when you were doing that. Didn't need to be done because it works really well, but I just wanted to throw that out to all of you that, you know, you can play with things like that too. I like going back to the work, however, going back to the process so it feels like that's what felt really good about you, Maria. It felt like you were leading. There was a process. She could relax into it. She wasn't afraid that she was going to get lost or that you were going to get lost or you were going to not get anywhere. It felt like it was moving with flow. And I like the way that you tied it up, too, at the end and all of that. So really great job. Really, really great job.
Thanks a lot.
Like you, and I'm sure other people on the call, there you might have had hunches or marmosets. I just want to spend a moment just with those people who are listening to this, just before we get to the other call. I'm wondering if you could just throw out any hunches that you had. We're not going to go into them. Not going to have Tanya talk about them, but I'm wondering if you had any hunches, any things you wanted, you were curious about her. Or things you were curious about? Anyone?
This is Jerry. One hunt,
yes.
I had that Tanya said when she was talking to you and not to Maria was that he said, I want to give you a hug, and that wasn't really appropriate,
yes.
She said. And then I thought, a hunch was that maybe the bad decision was that she might feel that he's attracted, that Tanya might feel that he's attracted to her and that that's not appropriate. You know, it's just a hunch I had.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Thank you. We won't have you deal with any of that, this or Tanya. You're just throwing these things out. Anybody else have a curiosity or a hunch or a question that they wanted to find out about?
Yeah, this is David. I think, first of all, I think Maria did a great job, and Tanya was being very transparent, authentic, and open. That was awesome session, you guys, so bravo for that. But I would have, initially, Tanya said from the very beginning, and I would have probably went right into the work on the thought that I should not have taken him as a client.
Yeah.
I would have worked with that a little bit, too.
Yeah, that was something right away. Cool, thanks, David.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
It's Robin. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, I had a hunch that the bad decision was maybe just not laying the groundwork in the first place and saying we can't coach about anything work related or anything that has to do with my husband. If you want to coach around your personal relationships, then great. But if it's going to be work-related, then I'm going to pass you along or something like that. And then so there was always that door maybe is open for Tanya that she was worried that it might go there, even though she's saying it never did.
Yeah. Cool. Great. I knew there was some of the stuff that was like there's similar questions that I had too. And great that you threw them out because those might be things that Tanya might want to explore afterwards. This session that, you know, was done with Maria was absolutely great and dealt with the issue at hand. And then there's some of these other things, you know, the boundary. So this is other stuff. Like, you know, you have a session with a client. Let's say you have a session with a client and then you're having many sessions with a client. So you have this session. Maria worked on that issue. She had some questions, too, about the whole thing with her husband and she might bring those things up at the next session. She might talk about this whole idea of, you know, laying the groundwork, the structure for the sessions and things like that. So you can see that you do one thing and then give the person homework, for example, about seeing that she is a good decision and list of reasons that she is a good decision or that she made makes good decision or has made a good decision, whatever it might be, and then follow up with how she has how she's lived into that throughout the week. And then you could go back to, hey, you know what? When we were talking, I heard this whole area around your husband and the sort of the ground rules of the coaching. Say more about that. So that might be something to bring up. So cool. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Great, 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 great work. So now we have Tanya, you're gonna be our coach. Lucky you.
Lucky me.
That's great. And Tanya, you're gonna be coaching Heather. If you guys are ready, you can take it away.
Hi, Heather.
Hey, Tanya.
How are you?
I'm okay. I was working hard at being present for you while you were the client and listening to all of that. And at the same time, I felt things bubbling up in me because I knew I was going to be the client next. So I've had an interesting time in the last little while sort of dancing between just be present, just be present. So when the hunches came up, Bev, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm, like, doing my stuff. But, no, I was present. So that dance was happening for me. And actually, before I – when I came to the call, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll be a client because I was in this basically a pretty good space. Like I felt I've had a day without my kids and my husband. They went camping, and that's very rare for me to have time alone. So I've had a lot of time for self-care, which is not typical for me. And I felt in a good place. And so I thought, okay, I can handle coaching. And then as you were being coached, all of this stuff that I've been dealing with for the last several months started to come up, and I even now don't even know how to be a good client, not a good client, to be a client, because there's so much on my plate. I don't know where to start. Originally, I thought, oh, I'll just get coaching about like my coaching practice and the challenges with that. But I just heard invalid option. That was weird.
I can still hear you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yep.
Sorry. Anyway, so I don't know whether to go with that or not. It seems kind of inauthentic because I have all this other life stuff coming up, so I don't even know where to start.
Well, that's okay. You know what, maybe why don't we start with a couple of deep breaths that will probably be good for both of us. It sounds like we both are kind of need to just get present again. So if you can feel your feet on the floor, and you are way better at this kind of thing than I am, so I feel inauthentic trying to coach you through doing anything with your body, but we're gonna go with it. We're gonna take
not at all. It's perfect.
Let's take a couple good deep centering breaths. And Heather, if you'll bring all your attention to your toes. And then bring all of your attention to your fingers. Maybe wiggle your fingers. Maybe take one more good breath and breathe into wherever you're feeling a little stress or anxiety. Now let's bring our attention to the tip of our nose. And I had a thought that we can try and see where this leads us. I thought maybe it might be interesting since you're kind of not sure which issue to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could start with a find the feeling kind of a thing.
Sure.
Maybe if you could tell me what you would like more of in your life right now. What are you missing?
Yeah, that's easy, actually. Just simple joy, just simplicity and joy. And as you were guiding me, actually, you're very smart to go into my body because that's just me. Anyway, so good job, because I was in my head. And interesting, as you were just guiding me through that grounding, I had this feeling like I'm happy, but that's impossible with the things in my life that I am meant to carry. But I thought, no, it's like there's a part of me that knows that this simple joy is very much me. But the things that are happening in my life are actually okay, but the world is not okay with these things. And that's where I think I get very confused. And a simple, simple background, because many of you know part of the story anyways, I don't have to go deeply into it, but several months ago, I came to the realization that my youngest child is most definitely transgender. My little boy is actually a girl. And my husband didn't agree. And so we had months of painful debates. And it was just that simple. He just didn't agree. And in the end, our now girl, Cedar, luckily we picked a name that was gender neutral, but Cedar eventually told my husband exactly what he needed to hear to get on the page I knew we needed to be on. But for months, I didn't know if I was going to stay with him, because Cedar would never be able to be herself. And I knew that with my heart, and I was willing to leave. And, but of course, I didn't want to break up my family and then, you know, have my child think that it's, you know, her fault and blah, blah, blah. I was loaded. But eventually my husband, David, like I said, Cedar said what needed to be said. And, he's on the same page wholeheartedly. He didn't want it to come from me. He thought I was projecting onto Cedar, but I wasn't. I just knew. Anyways, long story short, in the last few months, we've shared this news with family, with the school that Cedar will be attending next year. We've had meetings, and I feel like I've been this advocate, I guess. And I think, no, I don't think, I know it's a gift. I know that. I know Cedar chose it. I know I chose it. I know that we are going to do great work together. But it's hard to stay in that strength and that knowing. And I've let myself break down and have massive, like, unbearable nights of crying and feeling the pain of the world, it feels like. But when I come out of that, and when I witness myself having that human experience, which I've been working on too, I know that it's okay. And I know that we can handle it. And I know that we will be great healers together. And I'm happy.
Which just explains the feeling that bubbles up in your body, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's almost like I don't know how, what is it? It's like I don't know how to stay with me. I don't know how to stay with me on an everyday basis when people say shit or whatever, just when stuff happens. I don't know how to come back to this all the time, and maybe I don't need to, but I still have this strong desire for just, you know, I want Cedar to just be a kid, and I want to, just this simple thing is so strong in me. I'm like the ultimate minimalist, you know, how many, can I make a recipe with only 3 ingredients? Like, I just really like things simple. And in my mind, this is simple. Cedar's a girl. She just happened to be born with a boy's body. But it's just, it's complicated with the world. The world is too complicated for me, almost. It's like, I get it. I don't know how to accept. I don't know how to accept that it's not reflected in the world.
Okay. I have heard three things that I think we could go down the road and explore. One is the world is too complicated for me. I don't know how to accept that the world is not on the same page. Or, and this one I found interesting, Heather, because I know you, and I just found it interesting that you would say, I don't know how to stay with me on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
You just got fuzzy again, Tanya, if you could just speak into your speaker.
Sorry. I'm gonna actually turn it off and just use the phone.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. You know, those are all really good, and the one I think that rings true in other areas of my life is the complicated thing, because when I think of my coaching practice, which originally that's sort of what I wanted to talk about, I get really frustrated when I think it's going to be hard or complicated or difficult to get clients, or I'm not going to make enough money from that or whatever. When it gets complicated, I lose myself. So it's almost a combo of 1 and 3. Like when I stay in simplicity, it's like I really, on a deep level, get it. Like, I feel connected to, you know, the wood in the flooring in my house is a tree, and I can feel it. Like, the whole world is alive.
Right.
And then, And it doesn't matter if I do 1 through 10 to get coaching clients. I don't have to do anything. I just have to be. But it's almost like that's not allowed, or nobody does that, or it's there's something about who I am and the simple way of being that is really me. That's my strength, but it's like it's not okay. It's almost like I'm not acceptable. So of course my kid's not going to be acceptable or something. Like I'm just blah, 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 blah. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I thank you for this. Is you've got a lot of stuff going on, and you're really putting it out here, and this is this is tough work. So thank you for saying it all. So the world is too complicated for me. Rings true. I'm not okay, therefore my kid is not okay, I'm not acceptable. I'm just trying to boil it down to something that maybe we could look at. And my hunch is that the world is too complicated for me is actually a really pervasive thought that is kind of going across a whole lot of areas of your life and is causing some discomfort, but tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're right, but I think there's something, I think that's true. I think there's, and I know we're not going to have time for it, but I think there's a deeper one that we were on the brink of that's more along the lines of, something like my true nature doesn't fit in this world, or who I am is not okay. Something about the essence of me, and if I could truly live it, it's just, it doesn't work on Earth. I'm not an earthly being. I'm not an earthly being. I'm just not. It's hard to be on Earth.
Oh, I can hear that in your voice. The essence of me doesn't work on Earth.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it.
Is that true, Heather? The essence of me doesn't work on Earth?
Yes.
Okay, you absolutely know that it's true. The essence of me doesn't work on Earth.
Yes. I'm not saying no.
No, good, good. Don't say no. Don't. You say what is true for you. That's all I ask. So I'm going to read that to you again, and then I want you to just feel into it and just tell me what happens when you believe that the essence of me doesn't work on Earth.
Well, I certainly don't want to stay here.
Right.
Not in a suicidal way. I just, you know,
right.
I love the other side.
So let me just jump in here for a second with you, Tanya. Can you get her to feel it, what it feels like? Because she's telling you stuff around
right.
it.
Yeah, no, that was my next. That's where we were going.
Oh, good. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. I just can't stop myself. Okay, go ahead.
That's okay. So, Heather, as Bev said, I want you to again say you're feeling the essence of me doesn't work on Earth. And just describe that to me, because I know how in touch you are with your body, so I know you're feeling it.
Yeah, it feels like I just want to, like, peel off my skin. Interestingly, I have eczema, so that's funny, but it's like I want to peel off my skin and run naked. Like, I just want to peel it off.
Do you have any physical sensations besides the skin, peeling off the skin? Do you feel it anywhere else? The essence of me doesn't work on Earth.
Yeah, it's, yes, I feel it in my heart. And it aches.
And when you believe that the essence of me doesn't work on Earth, how do you treat yourself?
I'm really conflicted because my essence is strong, so it does fight back, but I'm conflicted, so I, you know, don't give myself time, or I'm unkind to myself. But, yeah, like I said, it fights back. And, yeah, I've lost track of the question. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, again, I'm just going to repeat the statement just so you really can feel it. The essence of me doesn't work on Earth. When you believe that's true, how do you feel? How do you treat other people?
Well, I have a somewhat tumultuous relationship with my husband at times. Because I want to live in that, I want to live my essence so deeply, and then when I feel like I'm not, it's so frustrating. But I take it out on myself and my husband because it's like my kids actually get my essence. Somehow they're deserving, but I'm not.
That sounds miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. This is going to be tough because this is something that my hunch is that you have felt this way probably as long as you can remember on some level. Tell me where I'm wrong. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. It started very young.
Yeah. So this is going to be tricky, but I'm going to ask you to just see if you can do it. Your brain's going to resist you, but try to imagine that you have a stroke tonight when you're sleeping and you wake up tomorrow and everything about you is exactly the same. Except for you are not able to have the thought, the essence of me doesn't work on Earth. The thought is gone, but everything else about you and your life is exactly the same. Who would you be?
Well, I wouldn't step out of bed sluggishly. I would fly. And I would dance a lot and sing and create every moment of every day. I would create something. And I would mingle with people and touch them with my light.
That's really beautiful. Do you see how that's really beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see what we can, if we turn this thought to the opposite, can we see how that might be just as true? And the thought as it is now is the essence of me doesn't work on Earth. What would the direct opposite of that be?
So the essence of me does work on Earth.
Yes. Can you think of ways that that might be just as true?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, sorry, it's hard in my head. I'm sorry. I'm like, wait, what am I supposed to say?
Oh, that's okay. Just again, okay, let's feel it again. So you're feeling the essence of me does work on Earth. How could that be true? Can you give me a couple of examples of how
the essence of
me does work on Earth?
Well, I make people really happy.
Yeah.
I just have not even coaching, just like in the grocery store, I will just like know that, like, I'm sort of the little fleeting person that runs around and says, whoa, great handbag. Oh my gosh, your hair's gorgeous. And I don't even know these people. Or, oh, can I help you with that? Like, when I'm in my, who I really am, I have a huge, generous heart and an overflowing of love, which is why I know my child is going to be okay. There's no way she couldn't be. She has me.
Right.
But yes, it would help people on Earth.
Yeah, I just have to say that the wording is so powerful. The essence of me does work. It does work. Not like the opposite of it doesn't work, but even it does some work on this earth. You are doing work. The essence of you is working on the earth.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump in here because we're on the we're at 90 minutes, but I am willing to go longer. Those of you that have other commitments that have to go, it's been wonderful having you. We're going to continue a little bit longer, so hopefully some of you can stay on the call. If not, you can listen to the recording. I'm sorry. I just want to go a little bit longer with you guys and chat a little bit after we've done the session. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. Heather, in the interest of time, let's see if we can come up with just a couple more examples of how the essence of you does work on Earth.
My energy has a way of making people feel good about themselves. I just seem to know how to love. I can just love anyone. So it works that way. I suppose that's nice. When I'm true to my essence, I'm very light, and so in a painful situation, I can bring light and joy and laughter. So that's helpful.
Yeah. I almost think the turnaround, instead of the essence of me does work on Earth, I almost feel like the turnaround is the Earth needs the essence of me. It almost needs to be stronger. It does work, but it also, does that sound, can you see how that could be true? The Earth needs the essence of you.
Well, that's very touching.
But I'm not here just to be sweet. I'm here to just point out things that you might be missing.
But that is sweet. It does make me feel needed.
Do you think it could be just as true?
Yes.
Yes.
So how about if we just take another couple minutes just to wrap it up, and I know there's way more we could do. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read back some of the things that you said, Heather, because I just want you to really absorb these and kind of let them settle in. But the essence of me does work on earth. I make people happy. When I am who I really am, I'm overflowing with love. My essence makes people feel good about themselves. I'm able to love everyone. I know how to love. I bring light and joy and laughter. How does it feel in your body when you hear those things?
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely true. It feels very true to me, too.
And the beautiful thing about it is it's very simple.
which is important. We like simple.
It's only like two or three ingredients. It's so simple.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated. Is there a way you can access that truth when that thought creeps in? Because that thought, as we said, it's been with you forever. That you don't belong here, that it doesn't work here.
Mm-hmm.
How can you reach this truth when that thought creeps in again?
Well, a simple one would just be that my kids need me.
Yeah.
That's like a super simple one to remember, that they need me to be here.
And they don't just need you and they need somebody to make breakfast. They need the person who can love anyone, who knows how to love, who brings light and joy and laughter. They need that Heather, right?
Yeah.
The true essence of who you are.
Yeah.
Cool.
Are you guys, how are you both? Tanya, are you feeling like?
I'm sorry I'm such a handful.
No, but once again, as I say, people being coach are always like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so difficult. That's not true.
No, it's definitely not true. Heather, I want you to feel like you've kind of reached a place of some relief.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Great. So I have a few things to say about the session, not about the session, but just some other additional things. I just really have the need to say them. But before I do that, Heather, can you give Tanya some feedback, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, I love how you found a way to just get to a topic because I didn't know how to do that and where to start. And I love that you took me into my body lots, and I feel like you really, we haven't really had a ton of time together on our own, but a little bit. But even so, it's like you know me or knew me, and were able to give me what I needed to share honestly, which is really all any client wants, is to be able to really share honestly. So I feel like you made good choices in order to do that.
Thank you.
Great. And Tanya, for you, what was that like?
It was.
What do you think worked?
Yeah, I do have, you know, I've listened to Heather on these calls, and we have interacted individually a few times too, but yeah, I feel like I have a sense of who she is enough to know some things about her. I do know, and she said it over and over, but she does feel things deeply. And so what worked was to kind of just let her do what she does best, let her feel into it.
Yep.
And she will, I just knew by letting her feel, she was going to come to truth.
Yeah. Yeah, that was wonderful. It was a really nice session, nicely paced. Great questions, great actually going into the body and doing the, you know, when you started out, just doing the you know, relaxation or the getting into the body, even though you said you didn't do it as well as Heather did it, you do it really well. So please don't say that. What happens is when you're doing it with somebody, they need it, like, and you needed it too. Obviously, you had just been coached. And so that was a really nice transition. And I think my sense is that that was really helpful for Heather also. Heather, tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. That was...
Yeah.
That was the key to unlocking me. So it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really, really great. And so you followed, you asked, you know, you asked the questions, you found, it was great working with Heather to find the thought that resonated the most with her. I loved the thought that you picked. You could have picked any of them, really. That was a great one. And so, you know, it was a really, really nice session, I thought. There was a few things I was thinking. So just as she's going through this, so this is just like coaching stuff. This is like, let's talk about this like coaches. and different ways to look at things. So, well, one of them was a turnaround. So I always like the turnaround when we turn work around to play. And so for her, in this scenario, a turnaround, turning work to play, it would be the essence of me plays on earth. So just I just wanted to throw that one out, because the other thing that happened in here is that it's clear that the essence of Heather is really playful. So when you said to her that imagine you had a stroke and blah, 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 and then we had this, like, powerful moment of, well, I mingle with people and I touch them with my light. Oh, my God. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, well, we have to bring her back to this. It's almost like, when, you know, and I think we all felt it, right, when she was like, I mingle with people, I touch them with my light. My sense was that is who she is. Like, that is her core truth. That's her essence. That's the vision. That's what needs to be grounded for her. That's what she needs to get back to. Because you said to her, and you said, well, yeah, you can't just think you're there for your children, because that's what she goes to, right? No. It's this person. It's this little fairy, the fairy dust person. So I kept visualizing this, like, fairy with a wand and touching people. And so it would be super fun with her to help her or have her come up with an image, felt sense of that, and to go back to that. When she gets into this place of the world is complicated, it's too much, you know, I can't function in this world, to go back to that simplicity and be that person. So that's what I was thinking in there. It was like,
Oh, when you get there with somebody, which was a really powerful place, and like you kind of feel it. I don't know how else to describe it because I felt sense things. So some of you might have an image or a flash or whatever you have, but that when you feel that, and I don't really care. Like right now, we're in Coach 4, so I don't really care if you're doing the work. The fact is, you've got somewhere which touches her essence. So I think it's really important to find a way to bring that out, give her homework, do something where she continues to go back to that. And I know you thought too, and you were like, you were working with that. Tell me where I am wrong, Tanya.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, that whole, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The essence of me does work.
Yep.
And she's doing, like you said, the fairy flitting around doing work on the earth and sprinkling her fairy dust. And that's totally what I felt too. Like she is working on the earth all the time. This is her magic that she has to work on the earth. How do I get her to see that? The earth needs her.
Here we are. So this is where we are. This is what happened. So I got shivers all up and down my back and my arms and all of that when you just hit all of that. What I find is when you get to that, like, really magic place in coaching where you the person just like boom. You know, sometimes it's like it's nothing you do or they do, it's like it all comes through, right? Shows up.
Right.
There's their essence. What I think you need to do actually is underline it. And you did. You did. You underlined it. You said it. It's saying it again because the person who's just doing it, it's like they almost miss it, right? They don't really see it. They miss it, comes back, it flies away. And so if you are continuing on in coaching her and she was her client, my suggestion is that you would be coming back to this essence of her. This is her genius. This is her original medicine. That you would be, and you touched it in this session, that you would be going back to that over and over and over again. And that's the simplicity that she's looking for, because that's all she has to do. She just has to go back to that felt sense, that image, and bring it into her life consistently to not forget it. And then she doesn't have to do anything else. How simple is that?
Yeah.
That's my thought.
No, that's beautiful.
That's only one ingredient.
Yes, that's one ingredient.
I love it. I love it.
One ingredient.
I can stay on earth with one ingredient.
Yes, that's all you need. One ingredient. Oh, that was just really fun. It's like when I hear that, and I know you heard that too, Tanya, and probably the other people I'm listening also, it's like, ooh, oh, my God, oh, my God, this is it. That's the core. That's it. I mean, that's the truth we look for. That's the truth that heals. That's the truth that takes away suffering. So, very cool. That's all I wanted to say. I just could not say that. So, I loved that. Love to hear, love to see a live demo of that. Oh, wonderful job, you guys. So it's, this is it. This is our last coach session. You guys still have a lizard lounge and you still have, a call with Martha. So that is really fantastic. I have really, really enjoyed being, just sort of facilitating this process with you guys and just listening and giving you feedback. So it is really, really fun. Just continue on. How amazing you are as coaches. I would like to go around and ask you, I know lots of you haven't spoken today really, but what for an insight that you have or a takeaway that you have maybe from today's call, maybe from the whole coach-to-coach session, the whole thing, one insight that comes to mind. So I'll just go through the list of people on the call. Why don't we start with David, an insider takeaway, David.
Okay, insider takeaway. I would say that how vulnerable we all have to become to be honest with ourselves.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love that.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome. Thank you, Beth.
You're so welcome. Heather, a takeaway or an insight?
I guess it would be that it's worth taking the risk and trusting that Earth angels will be there to catch you when you fall. Like, you guys, I feel like you caught me and you found me and reminded me of who I am, and now I can walk away knowing what I need to do, and I am so grateful.
Wonderful. Yay! Thanks, Heather. Tanya, an insider takeaway.
Mine was at the very beginning when I was asking just what I thought was a simple question, and you knew that there was more to it. And I think we all have those moments, and we need to, you know, use it. That was following a hunch, and it was really wise.
Cool. Oh, are you talking at the beginning when with your client? Is that what,
when I just said I should have given my client assignment, you're like, you know, you need to be coached on that.
Right. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Wonderful. Yes. Following those hunches. Follow them. Because they really, like, you never know where they're going to lead, but you've got some part of you going, what's going on there? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, takeaway or an insight?
My takeaway from this whole last section is that, sorry, my voice is suddenly, 1 second. Okay. My biggest takeaway is that I feel that all my classmates are so advanced with their coaching, and I'm so impressed listening. And I know, I'll need coaching on this, you'll say, but, I just feel like I have so much to learn from everybody, and I don't feel like I'm with everybody at the same point, you know, but I'm just excited, to see how advanced everybody became.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. It goes very, very quickly, and you know, you might start comparing yourself, but don't. I mean, everybody goes at their own pace, and so keep coaching. And this is something that's a thought that you're having, that they're advanced and that you're not. It's so interesting when you listen to people coaching. It's so easy to say, oh my God, I've never done that. How did I get there? But that's just your mind going on and on and on. So I'm glad you're here and glad you're doing this, Jerry.
I'm really glad, too. Thank you, Beth. And thanks for all your guidance.
You're welcome. You're so welcome. Robin, what about you?
I feel like we have all learned so much from each other and helped each other grow along the way, especially piggybacking on Jerry and what you just said. And this is our last one, and we can let it just fall away, or we could choose to stay in community with each other, and I feel really compelled to do that, and so I hope you all stay with me, and I want to stay with you guys.
That's great. Make it happen, Robin. I've got shivers up in my arm. So that
me
means,
too, me too.
That's
me
a
too.
Yes. Yes. Do this. Wonderful.
Yeah,
thanks, Robin. And Maria.
What was really powerful for me, and I just loved that last session with Tanya and Heather, was what is the truth that takes away the suffering? And it just linked to what Heather said. One of her thoughts was, it's hard to stay in the strength of knowing, in the strength of the knowing. And that just, the two clicked together, which is, you know, that there is strength in knowing the truth and knowing the truth that takes all suffering. And I just feel as though, like, if just holding on to that as a coach and for all of us to just really get to that place of knowing of that truth and really holding on to the strength of that. And I thought that was really powerful. So great job, guys.
Wonderful. Wow, what a great class. That was fabulous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I had so much fun with you. Way over time. They're going to look at this and go, 90 minutes? oh, I mean, 2 hours? Sorry. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch again. That's all I have to say. If you got any questions, comments, just put them on the discussion forum, and you guys are fabulous. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Beth. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye, thanks, Beth.
Bye, everybody. You're welcome. Bye-bye.